Well, welcome, listeners, to Siouxland Catholic Radio, KFHC KOIA, 88.1 FM in Ponca, Storm Lake, and Sioux City, Iowa. We are so grateful that you have joined us today, and we're especially grateful as we are celebrating Broadcasting a Dream, 15 years of KFHC. And so thank you for your support over the years. And whether you're tuning in today on Monday at 9 o'clock, Saturday at 7 p.m. or anytime on your favorite podcasting platform, this is Faith in Action. And no, I am not Joanne Fox. I am Lisa Niebuhr, along with Ann Reed, your program director here in sunny Iowa. And we are very honored to bring to you two very special people today who are helping dreams and making dreams come possible. But before we introduce our guests from Briarcliff University, a special thanks to Mary's Choice, a pregnancy resource center here in Sioux City, for bringing you Faith in Action. And today we are very blessed and honored to have with us Dr. Patrick Jacobson Schulte from Briarcliff University, the interim president, as well as Peyton Slaughter, a Briarcliff senior, and a young lady from Cherokee. Welcome both.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Dr. Jacobson Schulte, or Patrick, is that?
Patrick works.
For our listeners in the Siouxland Catholic Radio listening area who have not had the opportunity to meet you yet, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your undergraduate, graduate program, and what brought you to Briarcliff University?
Absolutely, and thank you again for having us here. Yeah, so I grew up in central Minnesota, so I'm not too far away from Sioux City here, growing up in central Minnesota, St. Cloud area. I grew up in Sartell, went to Sartell High School. After Sartell High School, I went to St. John's University. You may be familiar with the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University, Catholic Benedictine institutions in central Minnesota. St. John's is a college for men. St. Ben's is a college for women. They have a shared academic program. I went there my first year as a student. I then went on and finished my undergraduate degree, my bachelor's in economics at St. Cloud State University. St. Cloud State has an accredited business program, so got my bachelor's in economics from St. Cloud State University. Then went on and got my MBA there as well, my master's in business administration, with an emphasis in finance through my MBA. And then after that, I actually went back and worked at St. Ben's and St. John's for a number of years. So it's been foundational in my development as a Catholic growing up in central Minnesota, being a part of St. John's and St. Ben's, and then going back and working there for 7 years. And in that process, was able to really kind of fold into the Benedictine values, how it set and developed my moral compass as a leader, and being able to work with those two institutions as well. So that was the start of my higher education experience. Was I was at St. Ben's and St. John's. As I noted, they were separate businesses, separate institutions, but they had shared academic programs. So I was kind of in the middle. I was able to balance the in-between of men and women taking classes through St. Ben's and St. John's, while they both were traditionally focused on men's education and women's education as well. And then from there, I moved on to St. Cloud State. I went to my alma mater again as a associate vice president of financial management and budget. Part of it for me there was to really learn how and expand my knowledge in higher education finance. St. Ben's and St. John's are private higher education institutions. St. Cloud State, as many of you may know, big hockey school, is a publicly financed entity. So when I went into that, it was really with the as an alum to be able to assist in financing higher education from a public standpoint, a very different model, probably similar to what here is here in Iowa when you look at WIT in relation to Briarcliff as a private entity. And looking at the financing, and I love that experience. It allowed me to dig fairly deep into Minnesota State higher education financing. But I always knew that my heart kind of fell in the private higher education side. As with public higher education and a lot of public education, you know, a lot of it gets managed from a government standpoint. And with that, the private side allows a little bit more flexibility in relation to the decisions that we can make as an institution. So from there, I went on and became my vice president of finance at Russell Sage College in upstate New York. Russell Sage was a college for women founded, it was over 100 years ago, and it expanded into being co-ed. So I oversaw Russell Sage in Albany, New York, and Troy, New York for a number of years. And being a father, I had four children. Part of the move to upstate New York was really a focus around my children. My oldest son Did exceptionally well in high school. He was valedictorian of the high school he graduated from up in Troy, New York. And I knew he was probably going to school, go to school on the East Coast or the West Coast. I was banking on the East Coast, given we were in Albany. He did. He ended up going to MIT. And so he got his degree at MIT in computer science and engineering. But the other three children were like, why are we here? And so we ended up coming back and moving back to Minnesota to be near family at that time. And I went back into the Minnesota state system. I was overseeing two institutions of higher education. The system has 37 schools as a whole. I was a VP of finance over two of them because I was inside the system. But again, just knowing that I really love the private higher education side of my career, wanted to find that place that felt to me like St. Ben's and St. John's, that foundational, rooted in their Catholic identity, focused on St. Ben's, St. John's was Benedictine value. Briarcliff, we focused on our Franciscan values. And so really when I looked at the mission associated with Briarcliff being Catholic, Franciscan, liberal arts, really resonated with me. So came down, visited with the leadership team when they had an opening as vice president of finance, talked to this number of individuals and students on campus and really felt that community feel that I think is present at Briarcliff, which is just is not everywhere. I mean, that is something that is truly special, I think, and Peyton could probably attest to this, that you don't find everywhere is how the family feel when you come into Briarcliff. Everyone cares about you. Everyone's there for you. We are a team of one, and we work together on so many pieces that I felt like I want to be a part of this again. Came in as vice president of finance, always had aspirations, finished my doctorate as well in business administration. So I have a DBA instead of a PhD, doctorate in business administration, with a focus on economics and finance as well. And so then when Dr. Keck at the time took a new position, the Board of Trustees asked me if I would consider interim with the idea of, and I let them know that I'd be interested in applying for that position, which I have done as well. So the Board of Trustees are now in the process of going through the presidential search on campus. They hope to wrap that up, I think, by March and announce who the individual will be in March. Like I said, I did throw my name in there. And all of my efforts over the course of the last 2 years at Briarcliff has really been around how to build Briarcliff, the foundation of what it is for the next 100 years, regardless of whether or not, you know, I'm in that role or not.
Patrick, you talked about your oldest. Tell us a little bit about your wife and your other children.
Yeah. So my other kiddos, I have a daughter who is a senior in the University of Minnesota Twin Cities. She is getting her degree in child psychology. I have a son who is at McAllister College in St. Paul, Minnesota. We were talking about Atticus on the way here, and the focus there was really around exploring the liberal arts, right? Where do you need to focus, and how do you focus on? I think a lot of times students come in and they want to be tracked into, I want to be an accountant, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a teacher, because we know what that is. When really the liberal arts expands that mind in a way to be able to think, I can be something more than this. And that's where Addie is focusing on classical languages, taking a look at Greek, Latin, really kind of a centralized focus around it. And again, as a parent, I also take a step back and go, now what does that mean for the working world? But it's really that holistic development of the mind. A creative thinker is somebody that we're all looking for. That liberal arts space creates that design thinking in a way to be able to go, I can think through, problem solve in so many different fashions. My youngest daughter is, she is a senior in high school actually this year. And she just got accepted to the University of Iowa. She's planning to attend the University of Iowa in Iowa City this fall. Right now, her name is Idea. And Idea has always been very intrigued by, investigative individuals, looking at the first 48, things along those lines. And so Idea, for her, her focus is she wants to be a U.S. Marshal. And with being a U.S. Marshal, she really wants to focus on witness protection, which is, I guess, done through the U.S. Marshals, which I didn't know until she had, you know, made me aware. And so her focus will be criminology as she goes into Iowa, University of Iowa, with a focus on trying to be a U.S. Marshal and then being able to assist with witness protection as she goes forward. So they're extremely exciting. Their mother works at Augsburg University in St. Paul or Minneapolis. And is in academic affairs inside of academic affairs. And she has her doctorate also in education. And so, again, one of the things I think that we've really fostered for our kids is this kind of love of education. Both of us getting our doctorates. setting that foundation for our kids. While there's no expectation there, it is just the foundation of, and education has been a key piece for us as we went through all of our kids, and it's kind of showing as they continue. More to come, right? I've got, you know, the oldest got his master's, right? His master's, the other three, I'll see where they go, whether it's they get their bachelor's degree or they, whatever their path might be. But, you know, for me, the love and support that I try to provide to them every day in various ways is I really want them to develop into the best humans they can be. And that comes with reflection and foundation. You know, one key piece, one thing that I think a lot about, and I speak to the listeners here, because as you think about, and I talked a lot about liberal arts, right, and the liberal arts focus at Briarcliff and what it means to me. Well, my oldest son, right, Finn, went to MIT. MIT is very tracked, right? It's like your math, your computer science. There's not a lot, you know, as you get into the liberal arts thinking, some of that gets lost there where it's like, I go for this reason. So every single month that he was out in Cambridge at school, I sent him a book, a different book to make him think differently, to think broadly, to open his mind to other areas, to be able to say, here's how I think differently instead of just doing his Rubik's Cube, doing math problems or computer science, sending him various books to be able to make him think broadly. And Finn, he kept all of them. He reflects on all of them. I think he's a very well-rounded thinker, despite the fact that he got a very specific and very exceptional education at MIT. It's made him a broader thinker as he goes into the working world. And now he works for Meta, which is Facebook. And, you know, one of those where, yeah, you know, I always feel like you know, sounds like you make it up. I went to MIT, works for Facebook, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, sure he does. Mine does. And, you know, but I think it's also a great piece because it's really allowed him to be, you know, for him to take a step back, it's like he's not only tracked into only doing computer science. He's a runner. He's a vegan. He's a, you know, he does all of these other things because my whole focus for my kids. And I feel like I bring that to Briarcliff when I talk to the students and when I share with the students. It's one of those pieces where, I'm going to be honest with you, I absolutely adore being a father. I love it. It has been it's the crowning achievement of my entire life and always will be. And right now I get to be a father to 1,000 kiddos, right? As I walk down the hall, and they probably cringe at the idea of how I act on campus because I probably act like their dad. And they're like, no, who's this 40-year-old weirdo? That is, you know, and it's like, but I adore it. And it's what I bring to campus in relation to energy, excitement, and also breaking down some of those barriers. I think at times for students, I remember when I was a student at the university at St. Cloud State and at St. Ben's and St. John's, the presidents were kind of like, you didn't see them, right? They were kind of off and they were doing other things and you never really saw them. And my focus at Briarcliff is how am I integrated into those students' lives so that when Peyton leaves and graduates, she can remember and go, I remember my president from Briarcliff. Patrick was involved in my life, in my journey, in my path. And I want that for all the students in various ways and for them to know my door is always open to talk about what that means. So.
And Patrick, yeah, and Peyton, the first time listeners, when I was up at Briarcliff and I had the opportunity to meet you, we were at the coffee shop in the atrium and you purposely said, excuse me, went and talked to a couple students, you knew immediately,
yeah,
that those students were having some challenges getting through midterms, provided that fatherly reassurance, and then listeners went back, and Dr. Jacobson-Schulte wanted just to make sure everything was okay. And that's the comment that we at Siouxland Catholic Radio have heard back from many different people who've interacted with you, whether it was at the Sarah Club, whether it's through their own children. And so please know that, yes,
thank you.
That is something that's truly being heralded. And what advice do your kids, Dr. Jacobson-Schulte, give you as the interim president of Briarcliff University?
I think they humble me at times, right? If I talk to them about what I'm doing, I think they're excited about me in this role. They're excited about my journey because they see how excited I am about being the interim president, what it means, you know, bringing that kind of fatherly flair to being a leader at Briarcliff. They also help me to think more broadly as well. Like, what does that mean on campus? And they also help me to kind of look through a student lens, right? If I reflect with them and say, you know, here's a situation we're facing on campus, whether it be residence halls, dining services, events on campus, student life experience, talking to any one of them about it, they generate ideas and say, well, this is what we did at the U, or this is what we did at McAllister, or this is what we've done other places. And it helps me to really think more broadly, and then be able to share that back with students or student government and say, what about this? Is this something that we might do? And then also, you know, that same reflection. I have my lived experience being a college student and kind of not knowing who the presidents were when I was there. And I talk to my students about that, and they'll say the same thing at some of their institutions. There's not a chance that they'll ever even maybe meet that person, much less be integrated to the way I am. So, you know, a lot of positive reinforcement from them around how I'm acting, what I'm doing. But I would tell you that if you ask them, they'd be like, I couldn't imagine my dad being any different than the way he is there already. So...
Well, you are listening to Faith in Action here on Siouxland Catholic Radio, and we are blessed to have Dr. Patrick Jacobson-Schulte and Peyton Slaughter from Briarcliff University. And Patrick, as you look back on the past 92 years, what are the strengths of Briarcliff today before we talk about your vision for the future?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I tried to do this fall, and then, you know, in the winter with the teams as we roll into sporting events, I'm just going to reflect for the listeners on one piece that really, you know, kind of came to me while standing out on the field. The football team, when I became interim president, the football team invited me out to a practice, and they were like, hey, we just want you to address the guys out on the field, let them know what you're thinking, let them know who you are. I thought, great opportunity, right? And as I get out there, I'm like, what am I going to say? You know, it's one of those pieces where it's like, you know, I was a cross country runner. I know football, but I didn't play football. And so I'm standing out there. I've got all of these young men on, taking a knee to listen to me. And I share a story, and it ties into the 92 years, almost 100 years of Briarcliff. Is I said to them, you know, you're a part of the journey that now is Briarcliff University as a whole. And I said, and the challenges, and I think I probably shared it with the basketball teams as well, and Peyton may have heard the story, is I said, you're a part of that journey. You're a part of the legacy. This foundation was built on the shoulders of others before you. And I said, and when you're out there on the field or on the court or running a race, I said, you're going to be exhausted. You're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to have midterms due. You're going to have homework due. You're going to be losing by 20 points and feeling worn out. And I said, and you need to reflect on 100 years ago, 12 sisters came up on this hill. They were exhausted. They were worn out. They didn't have anybody on their side. They were working so hard. They had to take 60 feet of hill off of this place, land that no one really wanted, to build a foundation to educate young women at the time and be able to change their lives going forward. And they were worn out, and they kept going. They pushed, and they looked to the person to the left. They looked to the person to the right. They found that support within that network of team. And that was the original team at Briarcliff. So as you're out there on that court feeling like, I can't do this anymore, I can't, you turn to the left, you turn to the right. Those people are still there. Those individuals are still there at Briarcliff, and they're making a difference in everything that we do every single day. Because if those 12 sisters 100 years ago could build what is up there now, there's nothing we can't do. And if you think about that relative to being on the court or being on the field or wherever it might be, that is a key piece of moving forward. So that's a part I reflect on a lot, right? 100 years of Catholic, Franciscan, liberal arts focus around how are we changing lives? What is it that we need to do and what that we can continue to do here on campus to be able to make a difference in all of those lives? One of the things, you know, Briarcliff has been exceptionally good at is looking at social mobility, first-generation college students changing their lives as they come into it, right? Mm-hmm. And you all, you know, you're meeting, we've met before, but a lot of the listeners are meeting me for the first time, and they're like, oh, okay, well, this guy's got his doctorate, you know, and his kids went to these places. But again, I'm a first-generation college student. My mom and dad didn't go to college. They had no idea. I remember sitting at the table with my dad after I graduated high school, and he said, you know, college isn't for everybody. And I think at that time it was more of a financial decision than it was anything, but it was, I persisted, we agreed, and I continued because it was one of those things I believed in. And so, you know, those chips are stacked against all of us. Briarcliff creates opportunity, much like the Bishop Scholarship as well, creates that opportunity to change students' lives forever and their children's lives and their children's children's lives as well. And that's a piece that I think Briarcliff has really done, is created and set a foundation in Sioux City where we're changing lives and continue to change lives as we move ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Jacobson Schulte. You're listening to Siouxland Catholic Radio, 88.1 FM, Faith in Action. And I am Lisa Niebuhr, filling in for Joanne Fox, along with Ann Reed and Peyton Slaughter and Dr. Patrick Jacobson Schulte, the interim president. And Patrick, you've talked about where Briarcliff has been, yeah. And you talked about your journey. As you look ahead to the next 8 years and that century
yeah.
of Briarcliff University, what is your vision for the future?
Yeah, I think one of the pieces that we continue to review with the Board of Trustees, and I do with the leadership team on campus and with student body, as well as who really are we at Briarcliff, right? We focus on our mission, which really focuses on liberal arts, Catholic, and the Franciscan tradition. And I think with that, the Franciscan side of it on campus is really integrated into what we do in everyday living. I think it is in classes. It might be on the court and it's other places, but how are we enhancing that in relation to Catholic and liberal arts as well? So I think really owning that and moving it forward, it's very easy for many institutions. And I just came back from the Council of Independent Colleges conference out in San Francisco, which is all independent colleges all over, and it was presidents from all over everywhere. And what you hear is consistent pressure of what is college? College is, whether it's affordable or not affordable, what does it mean? And I think there's so much pressure to change who you are to meet an idea of what you should be in order to be able to make money. When really, I think if we're true to our values of who we truly are and our mission, we're able to go out and market to those individuals, and will forever be blessed with the bounty of those students that want to come to us because of what we truly are. Staying true to that mission, true to that focus, and true to what Briarcliff was when it was established 100 years ago. So I think for me, it's remaining consistent while we see all of these different pressures, right? And we'll hear and we'll read, and any one of us can look at inside higher education any time of the day and go, well, it looks like now there's this program in, my son, artificial intelligence. Well, artificial intelligence is out there and it's developed, but is it part of Briarcliff? Not really. While we have computer science, it's definitely not an area where we're hanging our hat and saying we're now going to be the University of Artificial Intelligence. But we can create broad thinkers in all the other areas that can go into those fields as we go forward. So it's some of those pressures that we're feeling all around where it's, what do we need to do? How do we need to adapt? And I'm not saying we won't change. We continually evolve. Every one of us do every single day. But it's staying true to who we are as Briarcliff as we move forward.
Patrick, what are some of the ways in which Briarcliff continues to live our Catholic faith? People periodically say, how often is Mass? Or I don't think people realize the vibrant Catholic daughters that Briarcliff is renowned for. What are some of the different ways in which students share and live their faith?
Yeah, I would say that ultimately, looking now at Briarcliff University as a whole, one of the key pieces is students really lead a lot of it, right? You mentioned Catholic Daughters on campus, other student groups on campus that are really active and engaged, Bishop Scholars. We've got Knights of San Damiano on campus as well. And the student side of it coming through student clubs on campus really are the lifeblood. And also we lean on them to give us guidance in relation to what is it students are looking for as we move forward and how are we developing. We have Mass on campus. Unfortunately, the challenging piece there is given the limitation in relation to priests in the Siouxland area as a whole. The bishops blessed us with a father every Sunday, and we kind of interchange with others as well. But we only have Mass Sunday night at 7 p.m. And for us, it's how do we expand that? So one of the things, that initiative that I'm working on with the Board of Trustees and moving forward, is taking a look at what is our Catholic identity? How are we emphasizing that on campus, and what does it mean? We have Bishop Scholars. We have, Mass on Sunday night. We have these various students groups. But how are we looking at, is there an opportunity to bring in a priest that's full-time on campus so we can be integrated in student life experience, student assessment and advising, but also offer Mass and more opportunities on campus as a whole? The students are really key in driving that now. And as they're moving and asking for different opportunities, adoration on campus happening weekly is a key piece of them driving that. And so me sitting at the table with them, and I wanted that to be organic in a way where it was, I didn't want it to be seven administrators sitting around the table with two students that come in and go, tell us how you want to be more Catholic. I wanted it to be seven students and me telling me, why'd you come here? Like, what about being Catholic brought you here, and what can we do to develop that more if we're not meeting those needs now? What is that? And that was a really great conversation to be able to kind of move that dial with those students in partnership. So looking at that Catholic identity, Catholic programming on campus as well, and enhancing that campus-wide so that students can feel that sense of Catholicism on campus as they come. And it is hard at times, right? And Sunday night at 7 p.m. might be a time when some of us are like, I need to catch that, right? And I know that there's a statement in the Siouxland area, so I'm not making this up, where it's a last chance mass, right? And get up there and, you know, get it in before the end of the week. And we welcome everybody. You know, Father Travis has done a great job of really promoting it and trying to, and he does with the students as well. He's like, next week, bring your friend and bring another friend. And he does an exceptionally good job. But it is late. Sunday at 7 o'clock, everyone's like, I'm kind of ready for Monday. I'm ready to tuck in. But if we can do that and engage in a different way where we're hosting Mass on campus, whether it be daily at noon for students, that even if it is, then if we have the individual on campus, and even if it is 15 students show up, that's 15 students that are getting an opportunity during the day that may not otherwise get an opportunity during the week because they're stretched so thin. And that's one of the pieces that we've done a lot of reflection on with students on campus is 82% of our students at Briarcliff are athletes also. So, you know, as they're coming to Briarcliff, they're coming as students, but they're also coming as athletes, which means they're getting up in the morning, going to the weight room, they're eating breakfast, they're going to class, they're going to lunch, they're going back to class, they're going to practice, they may go to the weight room again, they've got to go to dinner, and they have to do homework, and also they need time for faith and reflection. Where is that in that model? The more that we can integrate that into campus and make it easy for them so that they're not running all over everywhere in the Siouxland area to try to attend Mass, the better we will be as we move forward.
A special thanks to your Catholic daughters on behalf of Ann and I and Siouxland Catholic Radio. Some of your Catholic daughters helped us set up last year for our first ever Youth Art Festival. So thank you very much the Briarcliff University.
Yeah. The students really do. I mean, that's one of the blessings we have is the students on campus as a whole are active in their club membership, but also active voices. Many of them stop in my office, bring up ideas of how they think they can grow, both the Catholic daughters, but also on the male side, students come in all the time and just want to chat and have an idea of what about this? Is this something that we could think of? And absolutely, my door is always open, and that's a key piece. And I'll be clear, you know, we can't always do everything, but we certainly can reflect on what's most important and what's most impactful for the students as they develop on campus. Because while we are educating them, we're developing the whole student as well at Briarcliff.
And Patrick, what are you doing in collaboration with the Diocese of Sioux City to provide professional development to our Catholic school educators?
Right now for us, it is just in partnership with the various Father Travis on campus coming in and talking to us, Bishop Nicholas as well, and whatever it is that we can host on campus also. So expanding that out, I know that in the past there was a lot of engagement at various events on campus that would focus on Catholic education and Catholicism as a whole. And I think over time, COVID especially, I think some of that went away. And so how do we re-engage in that process? How are we offering our space? How are we offering our services? How are we allowing faculty to integrate in that with educators as well to be able to enhance that on campus? It's still, you know, there's still a curve with that, right? COVID kind of set everybody back. And so re-engaging in events I think we're moving in the right direction. I don't know that it's there yet, but we're definitely moving in the right direction.
So, Patrick, what is your vision for the future of Briarcliff, starting with academics?
Yeah, I think you heard me talk a lot today about liberal arts, and I really do. I believe in that. I mean, I have a bachelor's of arts in economics, and while economics, you know, you get into it, and it's like, well, econ is like finance, kind of, but it really is that broader foundation of thinking as we go forward. And that's one of the pieces. I think Briarcliff does a good job of balancing those, and it will continue to balance those for student offerings as we go forward. While it is we have professional programs, we're going to continue to enhance how are we developing those well-rounded thinkers. But then what does that mean for program development as we go forward? And how are we looking at various partnership opportunities as well? You may read in the newspaper that we have various articulation agreements with other educational institutions around it. So how are we creating that path? So for me, really, truly looking at it, Briarcliff has been a key piece of the Sioux City area and the Siouxland community as a whole for almost 100 years. How do we maintain that? What is it that we're doing to attract students to come to Sioux City? What are we doing to educate them while they're here, develop them as a whole, but then also retain them in the area as well? it's one of those pieces where we want to make sure we're educating them, but we don't want them to head to Chicago then when they're done, but stay in the Sioux City area. So how are we partnering with community partners and others to make sure that while students come here, they have that type of experience? And I do. I talk a lot, as you guys know, I talk a lot with students and I ask a lot of questions and they ask a lot of questions of me. And when I hear stories of, we brought in some presidential scholars to the Board of Trustees meeting most recently in December. And many of them said, you know, some were first year students. And they said, well, I haven't gone down the hill. I haven't gone anywhere because, you know, they're not from here. And so they basically come to Briarcliff and they stay on Briarcliff. And it's like, how are we giving and creating opportunities in partnership for them to expand, to come down to Catholic Radio, know where it is, or come down into downtown Sioux City and figure out where opportunities are, and vice versa. I think creating an opportunity for others to come up on campus. When you came up and had coffee, you know, one of those key pieces is, I think community-wise, how do I expand that? How do I open the doors so people feel like when they drive up that hill, basically that threshold coming into campus, that they feel welcome and not like, I shouldn't be here because I'm not a student. Yeah. And I think that that's a piece that I have to continue to do, continue to work on, and continue to develop, because Sioux City is the Catholic university for Sioux City as a whole. And so how do we make sure that the community owns it in that way and embraces it, because it's truly theirs as well?
So, Patrick, tell us, when I grew up in Kingsley, your music program was the best. When I worked at the Alzheimer's Association, it was the social work. Your healthcare field has been growing. What are some of the programs that, and I understand you had two programs recently highlighted that earned honors for top online programs. Talk to us a little bit about your undergraduate programs and what you're doing in those areas today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things is, and healthcare is a key piece for us, right? And Peyton, being a nursing student, could speak to some of those pieces. But one of the initiatives that we moved forward last March, I believe it was, we got an EDA grant for $3 million to be able to move forward in relation to, at the time it was the School of Interprofessional Health and Health Sciences. We've now moved that with the Board of Trustees. We're looking at the College of Health and Equity as a whole. One of the things, right now we have physical therapy, Doctor of Physical Therapy in Mayfair over in the Morningside area that will be coming and relocating back to campus. We have a pro bono clinic or a free clinic associated with that that will be coming back onto campus as well. So when I look at and really reflect on what were the goals behind the sisters when they developed Briarcliff as a whole, it was educating but also being an integrated part in service to the community as a whole. How are we expanding on that and continuing to commit to that as we are Briarcliff? And that be students' opportunity to be able to serve in that environment where community members can come up on the cliff and be provided exceptional health care at an affordable rate to be able to take care of the community and integrate them in a very different way. So that's one of the areas that we're focused on inside of our academics, where it is, because healthcare is. It's an area where there's much need, but that doesn't limit us from all the other environments or the academic programs as well, where we can continue to expand and look at what are our partnership opportunities. What does that mean? We produce exceptional teachers. One of the things I hear all the time is students coming in and going, I came to Briarcliff because I was in the classroom right away. And that's something other institutions don't do. So the work that's being done by those faculty members to say, Peyton, as you come here day one as a education major, you're going to be integrated into the classroom, is a differentiator. It makes a difference in the way that they're doing it. And it's also providing a service to the Sioux City area in relation to those students integrating into everything that has to do with Sioux City as a whole. So I think continuing in that direction, you know, Dr. Brian Cook has come on board, and maybe you've attended a real focus on the Cliff Singers and having an opportunity. The last two times we've had a Cliff Singer event on campus, it's been standing room only in the chapel. He does an exceptionally good job. And so continuing in that direction to take a look at what are those opportunities for us to develop with those students, parent demand, student demand, what are those needs? Because they're there. We just have to make sure that we're able to kind of work through and articulate and lay out the foundation for what it is as we move forward.
And what master's and PhD classes are you offering or programs today?
Yes, we have right now we just got approved for an occupational therapy doctorate that will start in June, I believe, of this year. Yeah, a doctorate of physical therapy, a nurse practitioner doctorate as well. And so healthcare is a key focus for us in relation to what we're doing. And so we're excited about that. That ties directly into the College of Health and Equity as well, and being able to partner with key community partners around that. And what does it mean? Because that's kind of going back to that previous statement of we want to develop them, but we also don't want to develop doctors, occupational therapy doctors, and then have them leave. So one of the things we're looking at is how are we enhancing rural healthcare? And what does rural healthcare mean? So it's not just, well, I got my doctorate in occupational therapy and now I'm going to Rochester, even though Rochester, Minnesota is not super large. They're going to Mayo, right? Or they're going to Minneapolis, or they're going wherever it may be. But how are we creating an opportunity for students that are graduating to practice in smaller settings and be able to provide the type of service the community members in the Siouxland area need?
This is Faith in Action here on Siouxland Catholic Radio, 88.1 FM. Thank you for joining us today. We are blessed to have Patrick Jacobson-Schulte, the interim president from Briarcliff University, as well as the lovely Miss Peyton Slaughter from Cherokee, and I'm Lisa Niebuhr. And Patrick, before we turn things over to Miss Peyton, a little bit about athletics. We know that you had some excitement with baseball. You've got some new opportunities and a new interim athletic director, correct.
Yes, yeah, correct. Well, you know, speaking of spiritual experiences, when I got to walk Tony Oliva out of the corn at Field of Dreams for the first game, first collegiate game played on the Field of Dreams, what an opportunity, right? It was one of those where, you know, beyond, you know, thinking about it, I get goosebumps just talking. I'm from Minnesota, so Tony Oliva, Hall of Famer, you know, just, but it was that opportunity. But again, it's the same with all of our athletics. The more that we can expand, and what we want from that is to develop the whole student, you know, while they're here. It is not just about in the classroom or out of the classroom. It's how are we developing them as leaders? And one of the things coming in, Peyton was talking to me about, was having a new coach, women's basketball coach on campus. And she says, I love it. I enjoy him. The team feels so together. There's such a team feel and a camaraderie that goes along with it. And that's what it's about. It's about how are we leading? How are we leaning on each other? And how are we integrating in a way to be able to say, as Peyton graduates, and I'll let her talk after I'm all done here, but as Peyton graduates and goes out into the real world as a nurse, she's going to be on a team. She's learning the foundations of that, not just in the classroom, but also out of the classroom, on the court, and as well. But inside athletics, this fall, the board approved fundraising on behalf of an indoor recreational facility on campus, Fieldhouse. And that really is going to integrate, it's going to be a dome, integrate into it indoor practice space on campus. Right now, it's January here, and even though it's nice out today, the snow has covered the ground, so practicing on a field is quite difficult. We have that indoor space. It will expand athletic opportunities, but also student development on campus and employee development on campus, right? It's one of those time of year where mental health is a real challenge for individuals. We get cabin fever no matter where you are because we're locked inside. It's below zero and we're cold. And I want to be able to go run. I want to be able to go exercise. I want to kick a soccer ball around with my friends, whatever it might be. Perfect opportunity inside of that space as well. So when we looked at the full development of students on campus, that was a key piece of that opportunity there with the indoor recreational facility. But as you noted, Lisa, yes, we did hire a new interim athletic director, executive director of athletics. Kelly Bowe is coming to us. He was previously a basketball coach at Concordia, St. Paul, other places as well. Kelly has exceptional knowledge and experience in athletics and is bringing to us a lot of ability to be able to expand what we're doing on campus in relation to student athletics and recreation as a whole. And also the fundraising behind it as well, as we look at those various initiatives and how do we invest in those opportunities on campus. And with those investments, the other pieces, as we look at the indoor recreational facility, inviting community members to use it as well, coming up on the cliff and being able to spend time, right? If you want to come up and walk around the track and just have a time to contemplate that opportunity for people to do that as well. So a lot of that comes down to how do we have the appropriate leadership in a role to be able to say, let's develop a strategy, a strategic plan around that. How do we fund it? What does it mean? What's the timeline for construction? And then how do we integrate that in the community as a whole? Kelly is, I'm excited he starts January 17th. A lot of great ideas, has done significant fundraising previously at other institutions to be able to assist them with moving forward. So for me, I'm excited about where we're going with it and how it's going to integrate into the students' lives as a whole.
Well, thank you so much. Well, Miss Peyton, listeners, we are very blessed to have Peyton Schlatter. And Peyton, Patrick has laid the groundwork to talk about so much. For our listeners, before we delve into some of the details, will you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from, and what brought you to Briarcliff University?
Yeah, so I'm actually a senior, like you said. I'm a nursing major with a biology and psychology minor with a coaching endorsement. And I'm from Cherokee, Iowa, which is about an hour from here, for those that don't know. My sister actually also goes to school at Briarcliff. She's a sophomore. And it was funny because I did not want to go to Briarcliff, actually, when I was in high school. It was one of my last options, only because my entire family went there. So I have like an aunt that works there. Both my aunts and uncles on both sides went to Briarcliff. My mom and dad both went there and played basketball there. And so I just wanted to make my own path. So I went on 13 different college visits, and I went to Briarcliff just as a visit to make, you know, my family happy, whatever. And I ended up committing there like a week later. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was a very different experience for me. When I got on campus, it just felt like home, like it was a family and I wasn't even there yet. So for those that really want to come to Briarcliff, they're going to love it. But even those that don't, give it a chance because it is a great place to be. I've had a great 4 years there already. Like I said, it was my last option and they turned it around for me really, really quick. So.
And what is it about that opportunity? We've heard about healthcare. We've talked about that rural initiative, about the faith opportunities, the co-curricular opportunities. If I'm a student listening today or a grandparent, why should I consider sending my grandchild, my child, or why as a student should I come to Briarcliff? What sets Briarcliff apart?
Oh, so many things. But I mean, even talking about our extracurricular things, yeah, we have great athletic programs and everything, and I can talk about that forever. But we also have, like, I know at least 20 different clubs and organizations on campus, which we've kind of talked about. It can be with our religion, your political beliefs, any interest you have with your major or other outside interests. I mean, they really let you have an opportunity to explore different things throughout your 4 years that you're there. I mean, like, I was also going to bring up, we have a few other different things, too. Like, on other, in our English department, I know that we have, it's called the Briarcliff Review. People don't know that we have this, I don't think. It's a literary and artwork magazine that they have editors and they publish. I don't know a lot about it. I'm not an English major, obviously. But we also have a cadaver lab that we have on campus. That's great for our healthcare programs and for our physical therapy. They use it more than anything. But I know a lot of high schoolers come and look at that. I did in high school. And like we also talked about, a lot of different graduate programs, master's and doctorate programs. So your 4 years doesn't have to be all that you have there. You have a ton of different opportunities when you come.
So Peyton, you were a recipient of the Briarcliff Scholarship Program or the Briarcliff University Sunday. And on January 28th and 29th, individuals throughout the Diocese of Sioux City will have an opportunity to, during that second collection, make a contribution. How has that scholarship impacted your ability to originally attend and continue to attend Briarcliff University?
It honestly changed my life for the better. It was great. I actually have, my scholarship goes toward my room and board. So that's helped me be able to eat and have a place to stay, obviously. But I also was able to use it for some of my books and everything. I mean, my nursing books costed thousands of dollars. I don't know how I would have been able to afford any of that without this scholarship. And not only that, but it has helped me grow in my faith. I didn't realize how big of a blessing it was for me, because I don't know if I went somewhere else, if I would have been able to grow as much as I have with my faith as I did at Briarcliff. So any type of contribution for those scholarships, it's helped. I think there might be 12 of us. I don't know for sure. But we get together twice a year and get to eat dinner with the bishop. And we all talk about everything. And it's great. You get all these new relationships, too, with people outside of your sport and your major that you can also connect with your religion. And it's just been a great opportunity for me, and I thank all those people that have contributed to that every single day.
Well, Peyton, on behalf of all of us in the Diocese of Sioux City, we are so grateful by the incredible academic and co-curricular success, and we invite others who want to help provide that next generation of Briarcliff University students the opportunity to grow spiritually and academically and co-curricularly to make that contribution in that second collection, again, January 28th and 29th. Patrick and Peyton, any other final words to the listeners as we think about Briarcliff before we wrap up this episode of Faith in Action?
I would say the last piece I would add is, again, going back to, you know, foundation of the sisters and Briarcliff as a whole, looking at, and one of the things that we really focus on is that social mobility, right? That opportunity, that second collection on the 28th and 29th makes a difference for those individuals, as Peyton had said, making a choice between being able to afford what they need to for their education to be able to move forward or not. And that's a key piece for us, right? Those first generation college students coming out, taking a look at mom and dad are nervous about how do we afford this opportunity, exceptional opportunity where I can be, I'm educated in my field of study, but also practice my Catholic faith and really grow in what that means for me. That's what we offer at Briarcliff and continue to try to enhance at Briarcliff. And by offering and giving to those two offerings on those 2 days makes a difference in those students' lives.
And if I'm unable to make that contribution, I'm out of town, can I send that check to Briarcliff University?
Absolutely.
To the diocese? What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, I think either one of those works as well. And I think we'll send out, make sure that there's opportunities both on our webpage and on the diocese webpage where people can make those contributions. Either one of those works. We have an advancement office on campus, which is fundraising, that can assist with that, as does the diocese as well. So either way, however people need to or want to make contributions, there's certainly opportunities there.
And Peyton, you're right. As I think about friends in high school and college who were nursing students, probably the most expensive program were those nursing pre-med programs. And that opportunity to be on campus, to build those long-standing relationships, and what a gift that's been. And so congratulations on behalf of all of us.
Thank you.
Well, listeners, this has been Faith in Action here on Siouxland Catholic Radio, and I am Lisa Niebuhr filling in for Joanne Fox, along with Dr. Patrick Jacobson-Schulte, the interim president of Briarcliff University, and the lovely Miss Peyton Slaughter. Good luck, Peyton, the rest of this year from Cherokee. A special thanks to all of you for joining us today and for Mary's Choice, our underwriter and sponsor for Faith in Action. And so on behalf of Ann Reed and myself, thank you for joining us today. Remember, faith in action is good, but faith in action is so much better. Thanks for listening.